Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Brewers podcast. So much has happened since we were last with you a couple weeks ago. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast, and on the other line is Tom Haudricourt, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Brewers, they're 21 games over 500, heading into a weekend series with the very good San Francisco Giants. They are cruising. They're still 7.5 up in the NL Central, despite some challenges, some crazy obstacles. We haven't chatted since before the trade deadline, so that's been going on. There's a lot happening, Tom, and I guess top of mind though is still sort of the, I don't know, personnel shortage is probably too strong a way to put it, but COVID-19 has been really doing a number on the Milwaukee Brewers. They should get Christian Yelich back after 10 days away with his COVID-19 diagnosis, but Josh Hader is out. The bullpen in particular has been ravaged. I don't know how the Brewers are still winning baseball games. They've won four straight series. They're on a roll, finding a way to get through these games, but Tom, I don't know if we've seen the end of it. I'm guessing we haven't. I'm not sure, but seven guys right now on that COVID IL, and the Brewers, I don't think, are in danger of having games canceled per se, but this has been a very tough stretch. I'm very impressed with how the Brewers have been able to handle it. What have you seen over the last couple weeks?
Well, I mean, we don't know. We certainly don't know what lies ahead. They've been in a pattern of every other day, you know, positive tests coming out, and it obviously has hit the bullpen very hard. As we speak this morning, Hunter Strickland and Jake Cousins are at Hunter Strickland's house outside of Atlanta because they were put in quarantine there. And Hunter Strickland just invited him to come go in quarantine with him at his house. Yandel Gustave is still in the hotel in Atlanta because he was a contact tracing casualty, and so he didn't have it, so they don't want him around Strickland and Cousins. So he's in, I think he's working out in the hotel gym. That's happening. Yelich has been in quarantine here in Milwaukee, and now Josh Hader and Eric Lauer are joining that situation. So, you know, it has, other than Yelich, it hasn't hit the position player group yet. Jace Peterson was a contact tracing guy, and he's back. And Yelich is eligible to come off today on an off day, and so I assume he'll be activated tomorrow, maybe Saturday. Maybe they'll give him a day to, like, get his feet back on the ground. If it starts cutting through the position player group, that's when it'll be a real issue. Not that it's been great to have all these relievers out, but, you know, they still had, like, if you just go look at yesterday's game when Freddy Peralta gave them six innings, they were able to go to three standbys after that, Suter, Boxberger, and Devin Williams, who closed. And so they were able to use three guys, you know, that have been there all along. But the rest of the group is just changing daily. We had the really tough thing with John Axford staging a comeback and then having it ended all in one day Monday night when he hurt his elbow. You know, they've claimed guys. So the other thing we should mention, JR, is much of this has happened after the trade deadline on Friday. And you are not allowed to trade major league contracts now for the rest of the season. There used to be an August 31st non-waiver period, but but they don't have that anymore. And so, they purchased Axford from Toronto's Buffalo, AAA Buffalo team, and then he got hurt right away. Yesterday, they claimed Sal Romano. I've always thought that sounds like a lounge singer's name, but he's actually a pitcher. And the Brewers know him very well because he pitched for years to the Reds. He was on the team yesterday, but he had was not he did not pitch. They're just scrambling to fill these spots. Luckily, they traded for two relievers, Norris and Curtis. I know they've been struggling a little bit, but at least they have those arms, veteran arms. So Council has not lost his sense of humor. We asked him after the game, you say, what's the plan? And he goes, well, we're staying away from each other tomorrow, meaning today, because they're off. They can, so I don't think there'll be any group outings among the players today. So we'll see what happens. Generally, once this stuff starts going through the clubhouse, it's hard to control it. And the other thing that's different now, JR, than it was last year and even earlier this year, vaccinated players are now testing positive with breakthrough cases. This Delta variant is a pretty nasty, it sounds like, and I don't know what that is, what's going on with them. But most of the players got the J&J one shot vaccine because it was nice for baseball to do one and done with their players. And I think, not that I'm an epidemiologist, but I believe that it has been proven to be a little less effective than Pfizer and Moderna. Feel free to correct me. I don't want to be like these people on Twitter who claim they know what they're talking about and they don't.
Yes, you are right. The Johnson and Johnson hasn't quite been as effective as Pfizer or
Yeah, so it's I think baseball's still on a live and learn. And the Brewers, to their credit, were one of the earliest teams to get to 85% vaccination rate, which allowed them to relax certain protocols. But it's from what Freddy Peralta told us after the game yesterday, he said they are wearing masks in the clubhouse around each other again. So I think they're tightening that up a little bit. They just gotta make it through a period of no positive tests and just stop the spread, and certainly they hope to do it. It'd be a real shame for it to hurt everything they've done so far. But you might as well just add it to the list of stuff that they've gone through that should not allow them to be where they are, 21 games over 500 and 7.5 games in first place. They had as many as 18 players on the injury list. Yelich never has got going. Hira's been sent down three times. I mean, we could go over and over the reasons why they should not be good. But the one reason they are good is their pitching, and that just hasn't changed. I said they better hope it doesn't get in the clubhouse, but where they better really hope it doesn't get is to Peralta, Woodruff, or Burns.
Well, Burns, as far as we know, because he was in health and safety protocol earlier this year, has already dealt with this early in the season in April, late April. And Yelich, like you said, he's one of the, I guess what we'd call a breakthrough case, a guy who's said he's been vaccinated and still coming up with this. I think Cousins and Strickland are in that boat as well. So that's concerning because there's not a high percentage of people in society at large who are dealing with that. But you could imagine in a close quarter situation, like on a traveling baseball team, how that could be the case.
Yeah,
So.
that's the difference, so your uncle, Fred has a breakthrough case and he just, goes, into his house and stays there for a while. These guys are around each other in close quarters, like you said, in the clubhouse, on buses, in the on airplanes, in traveling and all that stuff. So it's a little tougher to keep the spread from going, and I'm sure it's very frustrating to be a vaccinated player and get it. So it's yeah, it's just like I said, add it to the list. They're in a unique place in franchise history now, a uniquely good place. They've never been 21 over 500 at this stage of the season. They got what did they finish, like 2018, like 29 over or something, but it was all done at the end, all done at the end. They were 20-7 in September, and in 2019 it was all done in the end. I think you have to go back to the 79 and 82 teams to find any team in their history that was around 20 over or so this time of year, and never with a 7.5 game lead ever. I think the highest, the biggest, that 82 team, they did not have a huge lead. They almost blew it in that final weekend in Baltimore when they lost the first three games there. on. They had to win on the last day to win the division by one game. So as great as that team was, they didn't have any cushion. They were playing in a tough division. And let's face it, other than Cincinnati perking up lately, the division's not been very good. The Cubs dismantled. I don't know what's going on in St. Louis other than collecting 40-year-old left-handed pitchers. Pittsburgh's terrible. It's really just the Brewers have one team to fend off the Reds. And how frustrating do you think it's been for the Reds? I was looking yesterday. The team that has the best record in the National League since July 1 is the Cincinnati Reds. Well, guess which team has the second best record in the National League since the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, the Reds have gained almost nothing. And the Brewers have had a little with this situation. They're a little fortunate with the schedule. They had a couple off days, but six games against the Pirates, who are at the in the basement of the NL Central. The Brewers won five of those six, and quite honestly, could have won the sixth. I mean, that was a whole to do on Tuesday. But the Brewers are benefiting there a little bit. They obviously go to Atlanta and win two out of three, so that's also a notable thing. Atlanta's a 500 type team, so that's a
Right.
solid series win as well.
Right. Well, let's bounce off real quick and talk about the schedule stuff, Jared, because the schedule, any way you look at it, turns in Cincinnati's favor going forward
Agreed,
compared to
yep.
the Brewers. They have I'm pretty sure 13 games left against the Pirates, while the Brewers are playing 13 games against the Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals have been hanging around 500 and are not certainly not world beaters, but they're way better than the Pirates. And the Brewers, what are the Brewers like, 12-3 against them or something like that? They've kicked their butts. So you have to assume the Reds will too. And the Brewers have 7 games against the Giants, three this weekend and four in San Francisco at the end of the month. And then they finish, I believe, the final weekend while the Brewers are playing the Dodgers, the Reds are playing the Pirates.
Right.
So, any way you look at it, the schedule turns in their favor going forward. And that's why it's nice for the Brewers to have, a cushion. You know what? Because you got to figure they're going to, the Reds are going to, when the Reds are, I'll be stunned if they don't just whip up on the Pirates. Everybody else does. And then the Reds also only have 3 games against the Brewers. So they are going to need help, I'm looking at the Reds schedule now. They do play at Atlanta. The Brewers have already done that. They do play at Philadelphia. The Brewers have already done that. They got a bunch of games against the Cubs, some against the Cardinals, and then the ton. They play the Marlins some, but it's just a ton of games against the Pirates. So I think we can all agree. And if you look at the Brewers' September schedule, it's pretty tough, I think, So the last week of the season, JR, the Brewers play at St. Louis and at LA against the Dodgers. And the Reds play at the White Sox only 2 games, and then at Pittsburgh 3 games. So you can see why the Brewers want to keep a cushion, right? Because their schedule is going to be harder, So we'll see. You still got to go out and win them. Sometimes those games against the supposed dregs, those are the teams that have nothing to lose, and they're playing guys that are probably trying to win jobs, But
Yeah.
it comes down to the pitching. And the Pirates' pitching is not very good.
No, the one thing you could say about the Brewers' September schedule is they do have before that Saint they finished, like you said, in St. Louis in LA, but 16 of the 23 before that in that month are in Milwaukee. So that's good,
Right.
but like you also said, San Francisco this weekend, that's the NL West. That's the best team in the National League right now. Against all odds of their own, they
Yeah.
are a team that's doing very well. And then a 10-game road trip against all NL Central teams. Teams that know you, the Cubs are
Yeah. Yeah.
totally different and the Cardinals are what they are in Pittsburgh again, but these are teams that they see a lot that that's not going to be easy, a 10-game road
Yeah.
trip.
You mentioned all those home games, though, but is that a good thing? The Brewers are way better on the road.
It's so weird.
Mean, they're 15 over on the road and what, 6 over at home?
It's strange.
I mean, they
It's
actually
strange.
do better on the road.
Yeah.
Maybe it bodes well that they're on the road the final week, even against the Dodgers, you know it. So, but it's going to be interesting. And and we just looked ahead, and that's dangerous to look ahead, but we're looking ahead just to see how the Brewers and the Reds might compare. And let's face it, you know, the Reds had their big shot coming out of the break, and they got swept at home by the Brewers, or else this race would be entirely different.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That was a huge series for the Brewers and San Francisco's curiosity. Like, it's interesting to see how they'll do, but that series and then possibly these three games at Miller Park against Cincinnati later in August, it might all pivot at that point. You might know what's going to happen then.
Yeah, and I was just looking at the Giants gave the Brewers yesterday three TBAs for the weekend series, which is sort of irksome.
Yeah.
But you know what, JR? So I just looked. Gausman pitched yesterday, so he's not going to pitch in the series.
That's a Cy Young candidate for people who aren't
Yeah.
aware.
Today, Alex Wood is pitching. They're playing the Diamondbacks a day game. He's 9-3, 383. So he's not going to be pitching. Anthony DeSclafani, who we used to see a lot with the Reds and who's 10-5 with a 328 ERA, just went on the IL with right shoulder fatigue. So no wonder they gave three TBAs.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing we'll see the 75-year-old Johnny Cueto. And the whirling dervish that he is on the mound, but I don't know who else we're going to see. It might be some guys coming up from the minors, so the Brewers might catch a break on pitching matchups. At least the Diamondbacks have a just a tremendous, excuse me, the Giants have a tremendous bullpen. I mean, tremendous. I was looking at their guys, every single one of them is great, but the Brewers have to feel pretty good about having Burns, Woodruff, and Anderson pitching. Anderson's been pitching great, you know what.
Yeah,
So,
we'll spend some time talking about Brett Anderson too, and the entire pitching staff once again. But going in a different direction, you had invoked that 1982 finale when Don Sutton pitches on the last day of the season. He was a midseason acquisition, who of course is remembered very fondly. He helps the Brewers win that last game of the year convincingly to get them into the playoffs. The Brewers now have their own midseason acquisitions who are tearing it up. We've talked about Willy Adames ad nauseum, but here at the trade deadline, they've added a guy who's made a very immediate impact in Eduardo Escobar, getting him from the Arizona Diamondbacks, playing at third base and first base, not a spot that he's played, but they're working him in there. It's been an adventure, but they're trying that. And offensively, he's just been on a tear. I mean, he almost won that game Tuesday night with a walk-off home run that a would-be walk-off home run was robbed by the Pirates' Gregory Polanco, but he's seen the ball very well, driving in runs, drove in a run on Wednesday to give the Brewers a lead. I mean, it's super small sample, but they couldn't have asked for much more. And you know, given what they gave up, and you mentioned too those two relievers, Daniel Norris and John Curtis, they've struggled in the beginning, but the Brewers didn't give up a lot of what you'd think of as top flight prospects. Peyton Henry, a catcher, is a name that some fans probably know, but it seems like they were able to upgrade their team. They didn't make any splashes that were national headlines per se, but it feels like they upgraded exactly how they needed to do, getting a corner infield bat, two relievers. I mean, it seems like it was a pretty productive deadline for them.
Well, if Escobar had been playing for the Cubs or like a high profile team, Washington, you know, a higher profile team that was selling instead of the Diamondbacks, you know, who are like the worst team ever. Then it would have, I think, resonated more because look at what, I mean, Escobar's among the league leaders in home runs and RBIs. So he's having a great year. Just nobody pays attention because he's on a terrible team. I mean, I liken him to getting Baez or Bryant or Rizzo, you know, he's just as good as those guys and having a way better season than all three of those guys. So, he's just a perfect fit, an absolutely perfect fit. The switch hitting thing is huge because he hits well from both sides. It's, you know, sometimes a guy's a right-handed dominant hitter who just hits left-handed just to be a switch hitter, and he's not very good over there, but he is. His corner infield, although first base, I'll tell you one thing. We talk all the time about the Brewers thinking out of the box. But how many teams would do what they did Saturday in Atlanta? They gave Escobar a first baseman's mitt, which he had never wore, took him out there and worked him out at 10 minutes at first base for the first time ever, and then started him in the game.
And it was an adventure, but
it wasn't. Well, how about yesterday? It caroms off his glove, and he catches it with his bare hand, and they on a one hop throw from Urias, and then they win the chair. You know, I don't blame the umpire for missing that. It was like a Cirque du Soleil juggling act, and you know, replay showed that he caught it in his bare hand. Shows you how athletic he is, but he's just a tremendous fit, and also you know, that Heart and Hustle Award that they give away to a player on every team. They don't give it away. Somebody votes on it. I don't know who. You know, Willy Adames, not one iota surprising, was the Brewers winner. But the voting had already taken place before the trade. Escobar got it there in Arizona. So shows you, you know, he just fits right in. He's a tremendous guy. You know, we've got to talk to him a little bit. Really, really, you know, great personality. Already feels like, you know, he fits right in. So that's of all the trades that were made prior to the deadline that could impact a contending team pretty good, that one probably got the least noticed.
Yeah, whereas San Francisco upgraded with the guy that we talked about, Chris Bryant, who's very good and can play a lot of positions, but he's not a switch hitter, you know, so that's one aspect that Escobar is maybe a little bit better than. And, you know, Escobar's having a very, very good year. So certainly has continued that so far. Do you think they did enough? I mean, obviously they addressed their needs, but, you know, the Dodgers, I mean, they added Max Scherzer. They added more firepower, just what the Dodgers need. San Francisco, like we mentioned, got Chris Bryant. I mean, we can start to talk about the Brewers as they compare to the other National League contenders at this point.
Well,
how do you feel they stand?
They needed a bat, and exactly the kind of bat that Escobar gives them, and then they needed bullpen help. And, you know, then you can judge bullpen help 10 ways to Tuesday. They weren't getting Craig Kimbrell. They just weren't. You know, we love Stearns because he doesn't do like some beat their chest GM / presidents do. Well, I tried to do this, I tried to do that. You know, we just, you know, telling you what they didn't do. I've seen some of those guys out there, and I think it's very self-serving. You gotta kind of pry it out of him, or else read between the lines. And he had the greatest quote of, when we asked him, "Did you go for any of the high-profile teams?" And he goes, "Well, we didn't appear to be a geographical match with some of the teams we were talking to."
Yeah. So, what did he mean by that? Read between the lines for me.
I think he meant two things by that: Max Scherzer said he wasn't going to the Midwest.
Yes.
And the Cubs said, "No, we're not giving you any players to PO our fans anymore at us than they already are." That's exactly what we took from it.
Sure.
So, although the Cubs fans weren't real excited about Kimbrel going to the White Sox either.
Yeah, I'm sure not.
You know, we know how they do their due diligence, and they're not afraid to think big. They've done some big things, but it sounded like they just weren't. It wasn't going to happen for them this time. And I don't know if they could have done better on the relief market than Norris and Curtis. You know, Norris is a little bit of a loogie, and that's a little more problematic because of the three batter rule. Curtis just has had buzzard's luck. He's had two defensive miscues behind him, and then I'm not going to excuse him completely because then he's given up runs after it. But you know, the other night, the very first batter he faced hits a double play ground ball right at Adames, and it takes a little skip and goes by him. Well, if they turn two, not one run scores, much less five, you know. So he hadn't had the greatest of luck, and he was having a great year with Miami. You know, Norris more lately than the whole season, and he's a converted starter. So he's also a rental in Curtis. You got like 3 years of control, so there's that. And going back to what you talked about, what they traded, no top 30 guys. They traded no top 30 prospects. So, you know, and it is, even though Stearns told us they were willing to listen on anybody, it's my understanding that they had some keepaways. They weren't going to trade Garrett Mitchell. They weren't trading Aaron Ashby. They weren't trading Ethan Small. I don't know about Terang. And then some of the kids and they are truly kids, teenagers like Hedbert Perez and Jefferson Cuero. They haven't even got to see him play yet, much less trading him away to somebody else because they didn't have baseball last year, minor league baseball. So, and they're not, as all of the rating systems will be happy to point out, they're not that deep in their system to trade a whole bunch away. So I don't think, I think they liked their team enough to make just the moves they made without trading away top prospects for further rentals, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, Ashby and Small, two guys that we've talked about as maybe having an impact this year, it occurs to me as part of the larger discussion about the roster crunch they're facing. Some of these COVID IL situations open up. You basically can add to your 40-man roster. You can go over 40 guys to account for that. Consequently, we now have a million Brewers, and some of these guys aren't going to be here. Some of them aren't going to have jobs when they come back. I mean, we've talked about some of these guys, but like Daniel Vogelbach. Well, right now they got Rowdy Tellez, who hit the big home run on Wednesday and is seeing the ball well, has some very good power. He seems to be your left-handed option at first base. And if Escobar can play there, well, now you got a right-handed option, in addition to some other guys like Jace Peterson, who can play first. You got Keston Hiura, who that's a whole separate issue. He's really struggled. I don't know if we're going to see him again this year. And Travis Shaw, I mean, obviously Escobar's a third baseman first. He's got to come back from that shoulder injury. I know he's on the mend, but I don't know where these guys are going to play. And similarly in the bullpen, there's just not going to be spots for everybody. New guys, old guys, with what's going on here. Those guys specifically, I'm curious if you think we see them again in a Brewers uniform this year. And I don't know who we're going to be. Who do you think are the odd guys out here when everybody's healthy?
You can't be surprised if all of them don't make it back to the Brewers roster. You cannot be surprised. I think they have one opening on their 40-man now and seven guys on the COVID IL that don't count against the 40-man. Well, seven goes into one in mathematics class, but not into rosters. It doesn't, So, I mean, so is Strickland going to get his job back? Yes. Is Cousins going to get his job back? Yes. Is Lauer going to get his job back? Yes. Is Yelich getting his job back? Yes. But I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there. I don't know about other COVID slash minor league rehab people. But we've said a million times, what are they gonna do with all these guys? And then something happens, and if more guys get COVID, those people will make it back.
Yeah, you're right. Poor Yandel Gustave stuck in a hotel in Atlanta, and he really doesn't have a roster spot guaranteed
I
when this is
know,
all
I
said and
know,
done.
I know he's gonna stay there and then go to Nashville. That's what he's gonna
That's
do.
what's gonna happen. Oh, that
But
stinks.
at least it's only an hour away.
That's true. That's true. He can get a rental car or
Atlanta to
something.
Nashville, I believe, is like an hour and a half away. But Drew Olsen and I, years ago when we shared the beat, we came up with the poor devil category. He's in there right now. He's in the poor devil category.
You're totally right. I did mention earlier, I wanted to talk about Brett Anderson a little bit. He's come back from injury. He's been phenomenal. And he's got I think a 3.67 ERA, which is fine and unquestionably the sixth best ERA
I
among
know, I know,
starters.
I know. You know what's amazing about this Brewers rotation, JR? The of the six guys that get used the most, the bottom three, Hauser, Anderson, and Lauer. I've covered Brewers teams where they would definitely be the one, two, and three starters in the rotation. No
Absolutely.
question about it. No question about it. The Brewers had won like 10 straight Hauser starts until they lost the other night, and he left with a no-hitter, so it wasn't his fault.
Yeah, and a 4-0 lead. Amazing.
And then Anderson's just been tremendous. That was a huge game by him Sunday in Atlanta in the heat. He's an old guy, and he readily admitted, I was getting hot out there. I didn't like that weather. But he pitched so good. And then Lauer's just been so, he's been tremendous.
Yeah.
You know
He's
what?
even had a bigger sample. Like over the last 30 innings, it's like a 1.6 ERA. I mean, this is really bad timing for the COVID thing to kick in on him because he's been rolling.
All we heard last winter is, what in the world would this trade for Luis Urias and Eric Lauer, and the Padres get, you know, a Gold Glove center fielder and Grisham, and then a Peace Davies to go get Yu Darvish. What in the world happened there? Well, you know what? I don't hear that anymore.
Yeah, I think you probably still give the nod to the Padres for now, but have to acknowledge it might work out completely for the Brewers in the long term and looks fine now. And Brett Anderson, like, that is an underrated preseason maneuver. You know, he wasn't a guy that was, you know, under contract coming into the year. The Brewers decided, yeah, let's bring him back. Veteran guy, we like him. He's a character. He's a cool dude. Let's do it. And man, has that worked out for them.
Yeah, I think they signed him like a week before camp. You know?
Exactly.
And I think for what, like $2.5 million or something, you know? And he might have some incentives in there, but he's going to earn them, you know? So we, you know, it kills us that both years the Brewers have had him, the clubhouse has been closed.
Yeah, it's such a bummer.
Because this guy is so funny, JR. You go back, you know, those Zooms are kind of accessible to people. Some of our last few Zooms with him have been unbelievable. He pitched in like a long game or something, and Adam McAuley said something about, hey, we were struggling too. And Brett says something like, hey, you sit in the box and type, shut up. And then the other day when they played a 2.5 hour game Sunday, 2.5 hours, that's like seeing Bigfoot ride in on a unicorn in baseball. He said when he finished his, when he finished answering questions before he got up and walked up, he goes, oh, 2.5 hours. You're welcome.
Yeah, this whole clubhouse in general, but Adamas, Anderson, you know, now Eduardo Escobar, there's so many characters.
Yeah, we were told, you know, over the all season by many people, hey, you guys got two of the greatest clubhouse guys ever, and Colton Wong and Jackie Bradley Jr. And we said, yeah, too bad we're never in the clubhouse to talk to them.
Yeah, that stinks. That stinks. Interesting that the Giants are coming in, because we mentioned Gausman, and I think, you know, I think the Giants probably have the NL manager of the year at this point, but we've talked about all the stuff Craig Counsell's overcome to put this team in really rare air for the Brewers. Like you said, some, you know, they've never been this healthy in the standings at this point in the season. You know, I don't think Craig Counsell is going to win manager of the year because the Giants have done what they've done. But
yeah, he's gonna finish runner up again. You know, Gabe Kapler's going to get it, and he's going to finish runner up just like he did in 18 and just like he did in 19. And here's why. And I think we can all agree nobody did a better managing job in the month of September in 2018 and 2019 than Craig Counsell. He literally managed them to the playoffs with the way he used the extra roster players, particularly his bullpen. And then this year, probably nobody outside of Milwaukee knows what they've gone through with 18 guys on the IL and now COVID and just on and on and on. And so, but Gabe Kapler, he's probably, you might as well send him the trophy now. Because whether it's fair or not, the Manager of the Year award should be renamed to the manager whose team did way better than we predicted.
Yes.
Because that's who wins it. That's who wins it. The manager whose team did way better than we expected.
It's kind of hard to be second in that award three times in a four-year stretch, but that's what we're looking at for Craig Counsell. Like, how many times are people going to doubt the Milwaukee Brewers? You just have to acknowledge the guy knows what he's doing. It's crazy.
Well, according to the people on Twitter yesterday, he was a dunce Tuesday night.
Yeah, for pulling a guy with a no-hitter that we all know is going to get taken out eventually.
He was at 104 pitches and needed 8 more outs, but how could you pull him? He might have thrown a no-hitter. Yeah, he might have thrown an Irvin Santana 150-pitch no-hitter that ruins the rest of your career.
Yeah, Edwin Jackson comes to mind.
Oh, excuse me, Edwin Jackson, right, not Irvin.
Yeah.
That's exactly who. Guy hadn't been the same since. And there's some other cases of that, too.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So there is some negative. The negative being, we'll talk about John Axford here in a second, but mention Keston Hira. He's back down. He's on the COVID IL now, but had been optioned back to Nashville, Triple A. Mentioned with Rowdy Tellez and Eduardo Escobar, and I guess Vogelbach still in the mix. I mean, there's not really a spot for him now anymore on the diamond. The offense just hasn't been there. What's next for him? I mean, at some point, you know, the struggles have outweighed the success now in terms of duration, you know, 2020 and 2021 versus, you know, 3/4 of a season in 2019. I don't know if they're just going to hope that, like, there's a reset involved when 2022 rolls around or what, but, you know, I don't know where Keston Hira fits now going forward.
Well, they probably don't either. They'll just focus on the rest of this season with this team. Hero will finish out the year in Nashville and go home, spend time with his mom who has cancer, as he should. And then they've got to decide over the winter what their commitment will be to him. It wouldn't be stunning if they traded him, although trading low is usually not a good practice. And then if he goes and figures it out, you kick yourself for the rest of his career. But how do you commit to him as the first baseman? I mean, right now, if like you had to choose between Rowdy Tellez and Kesson Hayter to be your first baseman next year, is that even a difficult choice?
Not at all. Nope.
So they'll have to just decide what their commitment's going to be to him. I mean, Colton Wong's the second baseman next year. Adames is the shortstop next year. Urias might be the third baseman, and who knows? They might try to like go get re-sign Escobar. He's a free agent
Yeah.
if they just love him to death for the rest of this season. The DH might come to the National League next year, and that's assuming the CBA gets settled without a massive work stoppage. And you could say we would let him have that position, but you got to hit to be the DH. And he's lost right now, but that doesn't mean he's going to stay lost. But that will be, they're not going to answer that question now because you don't have to, but they'll be asked that over the winter. It'll be interesting to see what their answer is.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the Axford saga is a it's like a it was like a one night like a one night only show. I mean,
It
we
was
didn't
an
even
after school special.
it really was. I mean, we didn't know anything. We find out in the morning that the Brewers have brought him in. First of all, there's like fan confusion because we thought the trade deadline had passed, but because he had not been a big leaguer, they had the option to trade for him. They did for $1. They get him from Toronto, of course. Hugely a huge fan favorite from a decade ago when he was so good in 2011 and a couple years around there as well. He comes back, he's pitched for Canada, he was in the TV announcing booth earlier this year. He gets into a game when the Brewers have the lead, he struggles, he gets hurt. I mean, let's be honest, he's done for the year. We probably, one would conclude that he's probably done for his career. I mean, that's a what a roller coaster. I mean, it was really cool to have him back. He's such a great personality. But man, did that what a night Monday was.
Nobody said life and baseball are fair all the time, right? And not every story has a great ending, but what a story that was. So he was hurt in 2019, and then with no minor leagues last year with COVID, he had no way to get somebody to give him a chance, right? Because you're not going to sign him to a major league contract, you're going to sign him to a minor league contract, but there were no minor leagues. So he just worked out on his own, put a gym in his garage, tried to keep himself in shape. And then he starts this year as a broadcaster for the Blue Jays, right? Kind of like Tim Dillard is now for the
Yes.
Brewers. Well, Team Canada was in an Olympic qualifier. He said more out of patriotism than anything else, but also because he kind of wanted to just see what he felt like. He goes and pitches for them, and all of a sudden they got him on the radar gun at 96.
Yeah.
And so I don't even know what happened to Canada, if they made it to Tokyo or not, to be honest with you. But anyway, he wasn't pitching for them anymore. But it threw the ball so hard, the Blue Jays, who were right there, noticed, and he lives outside of Toronto. So they said, "Well, you're interested, or we'll give you a minor league contract if you're interested." So he said, "Why not? Age 38, why not?" And only because he could pitch there. Pitching for Class AAA Buffalo was like pitching for Toronto because that's where Toronto was also playing in Buffalo because of COVID. And then he pitched great. But Toronto just didn't have any spots in their bullpen for him. And so the Brewers reached out to him. And they made that $1 deal because you got to, baseball makes you give something. But the Blue Jays just were, because he's such a tremendous person and a loyal Canadian, they just wanted to give him a chance. So the Brewers said, "We're bringing him to the big leagues. If you let us have him, what do you want?" And I think Doug Melvin made a couple of those $1 trades when he was the GM, just for the same reason. Give a guy that you love a chance elsewhere when you can't use him yourself. And I think that's so commendable when teams do that. And so good on the Blue Jays to do that. The thing we don't know, and I got to ask sometime, was that $1 American or $1 Canadian? That's
Oh,
what
that's a good question. Exchange rate.
yeah, and I think it works better in Canada, doesn't it? So, but maybe I can get Stearns to tell me, and I'm guessing that dollar never got sent. Yeah, and then he was throwing 96 in that game Monday night, and then, at his age, maybe he overthrew, maybe it was just gonna blow no matter what. But man alive, couldn't the baseball gods let him get through that game before hurting him? Couldn't they have let him? So he got a standing ovation taking the mound and coming off. So at least he'll always have that.
Yeah, and obviously already has a good place in Brewers history on the Wall of Honor. Was on that team that went to the NLCS in 2011, obviously. So yes, his place remains in Brewers history, but that was indeed a funny one. We say his career's over. There was a point in time when Stephen Vogt was on this Brewers team that I thought, yeah, his career is going to be over too. He was quite a bit younger, but the Brewers just saw him in Atlanta. He's still keeping on, keeping on, and he was effective. Had a couple big hits with the Giants a couple years ago against the Brewers. Like he's still here, so you never really know. You never can't really close the book when it
Yeah,
comes down to
and
it.
add another tough position to survive as an old guy that's hurt, you know what? And
Right.
he had a terrible shoulder injury. He couldn't throw at all. So, and another great guy. Have
Yep.
you ever noticed that great guys tend to get more chances?
It makes sense. It makes sense in all facets of life, and definitely in pro sports too. That about wraps it up, Tom. Any last thoughts that you have before I let you go this week?
Just let's see when we get to the ballpark tomorrow if we're told anybody else has COVID. I mean, you really, that's what you wonder about now, right? And also, what a great weekend series, Giants and Brewers. This is kind of, every game's a good game because it's a baseball game, but certain series stick out on the schedule. This one sticks out.
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, we haven't even talked since that White Sox series back at American Family Field. That was a good one. Brewers won 2 of 3 and had a competitive third game on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. I mean, these aren't, again, they're not division rivals, so it's not like as meaningful, but it is a good litmus test. And the Brewers passed the last one, so I'd be interested to see how they do here.
It's a possible National League playoff, matchup. You never know how the teams are going to shake out. Right now, it looks more likely that it would be Brewers versus Mets, but who knows? That wild card race is still up for grabs, and those boy, did those three NL West teams go after each other on the trade market, didn't they? That was amazing.
Yeah, they
So.
sure did. And we could talk about this again later, but maybe it's to the Brewers' advantage to stay in the 2 seed and let the West cannibalize each other, with the two wild card teams and then having to face the top seed being the West champion. That hard to know. Hard to know at this point.
Yeah,
At
you
this point, you'd
don't
rather
know.
face the Mets, right?
Yeah, we still got too much you don't know, but it's going to be fun. I'll tell you one thing. Every ball player I've ever covered has said one thing. You live to play meaningful games in September, and so that's the quest.
Yeah,
Get to
awesome.
September and play meaningful games, because then that's what it's all about. Then you've survived the journey. You know what?
Definitely. And Brewers fans will want to keep an eye on the Mets. Jacob deGrom's injury situation. If he's healthy, that could play a role in a playoff battle, of course. And also in the Cy Young voting. Like if he's out for the rest of the season, which is it's unclear at this point, will a Brewers pitcher wind up in that spot? That's something we could talk about on a future
And
podcast as well.
assuming health, who do you like in a playoff series? The Brewers with Woodruff, Burns, and Peralta, or the Mets without DeGrom?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, not even a question. That would in fact favor Milwaukee. So he is Tom Hodricourt, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Everything he has is at jsonline.com. We'll be back at American Family Field this weekend as the Brewers and the Giants square off for 3 games, followed by that 10-game road trip, 3 cities in the National League Central. It'll be once again another signpost, interesting signpost in the Brewers season. They are 21 games over 500, having a very good time. Tom, thanks for joining us. We'll chat with you again soon.
Thanks, JR.
Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Hope you enjoyed a little supersized edition after a couple weeks off. We will be back again on our normal schedule starting next week. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.